I hope that you've already been encouraged this morning. And as we've been saying, and we started last week, that we're in a, or we announced last week, we didn't start, we ended 1 Corinthians last week. We're going to dive into the book of Proverbs. And so I would strongly encourage you to spend time in reading that in the upcoming week, spend time just reflecting on its truth. But I think this morning we are compelled as Christians, as God's people, hopefully we all long to live in such a way that our actions would reflect a love for Jesus, that our actions would reflect a love for each other, that our actions would mirror in some way the holiness of God, that we with our lives would put on display how much the gospel has actually changed us. Hopefully what I described is something that you would long for. And as we reflect and think about the work of God in our lives, there really is no area in our life where the grace of God, the person and work of Jesus, has not changed. Therefore, it should be seen in the way that we live. Our salvation, our redemption makes us a people who just see the world a little bit differently. It makes us a people who respond just a little bit differently when difficulty comes upon us. Our take on life, our uncertainty, our tragedy, our conflict, our work ethic, our marriages, our parenting are all radically changed. They are defined and guided by the unbelievable work of God the Father through God the Son, empowered by God the Spirit. We are different and everything changes. But let's be honest. That's not easy, is it? Have you ever found yourself perplexed on how to handle certain situations? I'm sure you've been there. In one sense, the decision seemed so obvious, but as you reflect on the situation, you begin to understand, well, there's more that I need to consider. It's simply not as black and white as you would like it to be. And to complicate the situation more, you've already encountered it. You've already encountered that situation, but all the previous responses in this moment just don't seem adequate. So here you are, desiring to honor the Lord, but the path is just not as clear as you would like it to be. Well, how do we navigate life well? Because that's common for us. Well, that's what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom has been defined as the ability to navigate life well. It is the skill to living. Or as one scholar put it, it is practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations. Wisdom entails the ability to avoid problems and the skill to handle them when they present themselves. I've heard it said before that wisdom is applied knowledge. A wise person is one who can take knowledge, take understanding, take their experiences, and respond well to any given situation. Well, doesn't that sound good? Or perhaps you don't believe me. Is that possible? Well, let's look at the beginning of Proverbs to see the nature of wisdom. Would you follow along? And hopefully you have your Bibles, but open up to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read the first 7 verses together this morning. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Get chipped up. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We learn here at the beginning of the book of Proverbs that it is a collection of Proverbs. Now get that. The book of Proverbs is indeed a collection of Proverbs. But the question remains, well, what is a proverb? And come to find out, defining it is not as easy as we would like it to be. Well, we know, even though it perhaps is not easy to define, we immediately know when we actually hear one. Now, I am particularly fond of Proverbs. They remind me of my roots growing up in the South, where it's not too uncommon to hear short, quick statements to summarize a situation or often to give guidance on decisions. For instance, that dog will hunt. Now, I wish we were gathered together to see your response to that, but that just simply means what you're doing or what you're going to do. Well, that'll work. Or someone is efficient. Or maybe here's one, think twice before you speak. Well, I've heard it this way over the years. If you think twice before speaking once, you will speak twice the better for it. Well, here's another one I heard recently. A man who teaches learns twice. Or perhaps you grew up with this one. Early bird gets the worm. Here's one we oftentimes used in Tennessee to remind ourselves that everybody's the same. Everyone puts their pants on one leg at a time. I know it sounds strange, but it's just to remind us that we all are the same in some ways. And here's a good one that evokes a very great image. How do you eat an elephant? Well, one piece at a time, of course. Now, all of these short statements, they're putting truth before us in a rememberable way. You don't oftentimes forget the question of how to eat an elephant. It just sounds way weird, but the point remains one piece at a time. They are short. Perhaps we could classify them as ancient tweets. They are summary, short, brief statements. One of their characteristics is brevity. They're short sentence of wisdom. Some definitions play on that quality of a proverb. Here's one, short sentences drawn from long experiences. In the end, proverbs, as one scholar observed, they have three qualities, shortness, sense, and salt. Well, that's a great summary of how a proverb oftentimes works in our life. And for me, and perhaps maybe you, kind of the draw of them. Well, what should we expect as we spend time in Proverbs? Now, I want to give you this because I am hoping and I am praying that you actually will spend time in Proverbs. Now, today we're going to look at the purposes of Proverbs, but I want to try to press in a little bit and say, well, what should you expect as you try and you should spend time in Proverbs? One thing that you should expect is that the givens about the circumstance should be understood to understand the proverb. Well, what do I mean by that? Some of you who have not used proverbs within daily living, and some of you more literalist among us, might have a hard time understanding a proverb, or perhaps the tendency would be to poke as many holes in the truth of where it doesn't really work, and lessen its authority, to lessen its help in our life. You think of a million ways that that proverb actually does not work. Well, you have to understand there are givens with each proverb. So rather than discrediting it, it's better to correctly identify the appropriate conditions where the proverb is true. So for instance, let's take Proverbs 10:4. Here's what it says. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Well, but let's say the diligent one faces a worldwide pandemic and their wealth is stripped from them. Or he or she is a worker at a place, has an unfair boss, who takes advantage of their work and does not reward them correctly, but they're a hard worker. Or let's take a lazy individual who gets an inheritance. Well, you get my point. And maybe most of you are saying, well, of course, Pastor, but you would be surprised how some will discredit the usefulness of a proverb and dismiss its truth that sits right in front of them. Or perhaps I could say it this way, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, this will become more evident as we spend time in this book, and hopefully as you spend time in the book, you will begin to see that in various takes on situations, it prevents truth one way, it prevents truth another way on the same situation, because Proverbs are narrow in their focus. So it's very wise to look at all the points that are made about different situations, especially when it comes to wealth and poverty, which we'll look at down the road. The second thing to expect is ambiguity. Now, this builds off of our previous point. Proverbs are built on ambiguity in order to make wider applications. One scholar put it really well. He said, the ambiguity stimulates thinking and plays a significant role in developing the skill on living that constitutes wisdom. You see, wisdom is a skill that, unfortunately, requires thinking. Proverbs are not just for those who are uneducated. Proverbs are not just for those who just can't figure things out. No, actually, they are designed to cause us to think. They actually help build wisdom because of the nature of how they are constructed. You have to think, and that's good for us. Lastly, Proverbs describe the way things usually work. Now, this goes without saying, considering everything that we've just already said, but it's really wise to hear it again. Proverbs, short, rememberable statements on truth, they describe how things typically work. For instance, we've heard this, play with fire, you get burned. Well, most of the time, but sure, someone could play with fire and potentially not get burned. But the far more common reality is that you will indeed get burned. And let's not forget, it's not just talking about fire per se, but it's using it as an imagery to make a point. You keep playing with dangerous things, well, you will eventually get hurt. But our task today is more to set the stage for these brief and pointed statements. I give you what to expect when you engage in Proverbs because I hope you'll read them this week. But our aim this morning is to set the stage for these brief and pointed statements, to be mindful of their purpose in our life. Why do we start there? Because that's where the book of Proverbs starts. It starts with giving us a clear purpose. And come to find out, the nature of a proverb is quite impressive. Its work in a man or woman's life is impressive. The list of what it can accomplish in one's life is comprehensive. Verses 2 through 6 give us the clear purpose of Proverbs in our life. Proverbs, short, quick, salty statements of truth about life, they are given so that we will know and understand life. Their ultimate aim is to grant knowledge, for one to gain understanding about life. They're not just mere head knowledge full of acts, but the workings of the world that God created so that we could understand, not just know, but understand how things work. How does it do that? Well, it gives us this knowledge and understanding in one wisdom. Go figure. Our skill at life increases when we consider a proverb. Now, that alone is a worthy endeavor, is that it claims it can grant us wisdom. And we've seen that that's a skill to life that we all desperately need. these sayings are written in such a way that they stick with us. We begin to recognize them in daily living, and now all of a sudden we go, oh, I have a good answer, and we employ them. We start to see them in real life. We start to see the Bible affirm them as we spend time in Scripture, and we even see some of them just plainly stated in the lives of biblical characters. We begin, as we spend time in wisdom, to intuitively make decisions that honor the Lord and in the end that are helpful for us. Wisdom is at the heart of Proverbs, and honestly, any proverb for that matter. The word wisdom actually shows up 39 times within the book of Proverbs as a noun. What do I mean by that? Just describing what it is. It's a key focus. And then it shows up 47 times as an adjective. You're like, okay, get over the English. But as the adjective, which are giving us actions that are describing people who are wise. It often says the wise man, the wise son, the wise woman, the wise king, those who are wise of heart, one who is wise, the saying of the wise. So it gives us not only what wisdom is, but what it looks like in the life of people. Wisdom is at the heart of this book. And being wise is the result of time spent here in this book. It is worth our effort. Why is that? Because it gives instructions, as these verses tell us. Not only does it give instructions, but it gives on an array of topics. It gives a comprehensive instruction on all of those topics. Wealth and poverty get a lot of attention. Wealth at times is praised and then called evil at times. Poverty is praised at times and called evil at times. You see, Proverbs does not let us off the hook so easily. It is taking these short, salty statements to reveal the open wounds of sin that is often in our hearts. Because we love one, but we don't like the other one. Perhaps that's revealing something because it's instructing you and giving you instructions. Well, it starts to pull things out of our heart. You will be greatly rewarded here in these pages. But I have to warn you, your heart will be on display and it'll be called forth in repentance. We will be given instructions on life, and the nature of instructions are oftentimes corrective, but that's good for us. But more than that, it will correct our hearts. Righteousness is the book's concern. Proverbs gives us words of insight. It will offer up words to describe situations and point us towards truth. Well, the text goes on to say that we will receive these instructions, which we've been talking about. But here, as it progresses through the text, it gets really specific. It says that we will receive instructions on wise dealings, on righteousness, justice, equity. Apparently, it's concerned about how we interact with one another. Not only will we understand and we make better decisions, but the way we interact with each other will be radically changed. It cares about how we love one another. It speaks to our dealings with one another. It speaks to us pursuing righteousness. It speaks to us caring about justice for others and equity. You see, wisdom reaches into so many areas of our life. It brings about a fair and just community if you follow God's wisdom. It brings about knowledge and understanding and instruction. But here's the point. That knowledge, that understanding, all these instructions were never meant to just be stored up in our head. But rather, they were to be a spring of help, healing, and care for those we interact with. Knowledge wasn't meant to be stored up. Instructions weren't meant to just be known, but to be lived. And when they are, they have a radical influence on the text. Proverbs 1 through 7, particularly verse 3 tells us that it's going to influence the way that we interact with others. Perhaps that's surprising to you. We think of wisdom, we just want to do it well. We just want to think about me and what I do. But unfortunately, there's more. I wouldn't say unfortunately, but fortunately, there's more to the picture. Is that this knowledge moves out into our daily interactions, so much so, righteousness, justice, equity. It reaches into our life. That is wisdom, putting it into action. See, that's what wisdom is comprised of, to appropriately taking the knowledge and applying it to our life. But there's more that this Proverbs will do. It's more that this book will do in our lives. Not only will Proverbs give us instructions on how to live, how to treat each other, but it also will give prudence to the simple, that it says in verse 4. It will make wise those who are short on thinking, because it causes them to think. By giving them wisdom to develop good judgment and to use their resources in a crafty way, what a book! And how effective it is in one's life. It does not want us to stay simple, or we could say gullible is the word there. It doesn't want this individual, us, our entire lives to function that way. Proverbs continues to give. And where we see knowledge again here is added with discernment. The simple one, as we look through that verse, is replaced with youth. It puts in parallel that each are simple one and youth. It puts those in parallel to remind us that the Book of Proverbs and wisdom has an ongoing effect in our life. It brings us forward in greater maturity and discernment. And isn't that the trick? Doesn't that take great maturity to develop discernment? And I don't know about you, but how desperately we need it. For instance, I know my shortcomings as a parent. Perhaps you know your shortcomings as a parent. I realize that I cannot teach my kiddos how to act in every situation. It is impossible to know every tiny detail of every situation that they will face. It's impossible for me to do that. So what can I do? I work on discernment. I help them to have good instincts when it comes to doing the right thing. How does one develop discernment? Through wisdom, through Proverbs, understanding how things are and how we are to be. So that my kiddos and you and myself, when life comes flying at us with a quick pace, we, through gaining wisdom, will be able to discern, be able to respond correctly and rightly. Well, if you have any doubt in my mind that the book of Proverbs is not only for those who really, really need wisdom, come to find out it's also for those who already have wisdom, because apparently wisdom continues to grow. Verse 5 and 6 move from this simple and this youth, it moves to those who already possess some wisdom. Proverbs works in their life to increase those who are wise so that they learn more, they obtain guidance, they understand Proverbs, that they have greater understanding of the sayings. They could hear the words of the wise and understand their riddles. You see, teachability is required of us if we are to be wise. We need to continue to learn. You know, when I was in college, I had a campus pastor, Todd Brady. He wisely told me one day, the number one thing that he says he mentions when he's filling out a reference, because he fills out quite a few of them, the number one thing he mentions for someone is whether they are teachable or they are not. You know, that really stuck with me, that he put teachability as a significant trait, that if he's filling out a reference for someone, the one thing he wants the other person to know is whether that individual is teachable or not. That really stuck with me. And I mean, it's smart, right? It's thoughtful. And come to find out, it's biblical. We should never think that we have arrived, that we don't need further instructions, that we don't need more information and wisdom in our life. You gotta love the comprehensive work here at the beginning of this book to not let anyone off the hook. You know, that old proverb, you can't teach an old dog a new trick. Well, I don't think that that observation, though it's true sometimes, was really meant to be celebrated. We need to keep learning, keep attaining guidance, and working hard to understand Proverbs, to understand wisdom, and how to apply the knowledge that we gain given to us from the Lord. But that is what is so interesting about Proverbs, about wisdom. It takes work, but it can be learned. If someone lacks wisdom, it doesn't mean that they can't. It just requires of us thinking and work, and it can be learned. Notice the word riddles here. As we will find out when you read Proverbs, it takes some work to sort through the imagery and to determine all the givens that are in the situation and think through the many applications. It requires us to work, but we can gain wisdom. We can gain wisdom. Well, that's the purpose of Proverbs. And hopefully, I'm hoping, you're sold on its usefulness for us as God's people. But there is one major point to be made here. Even though we're at the end of this section, we actually are arriving at the beginning of how it all will be accomplished in our lives. Listen to verse 7 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord. Notice it says that is the beginning. Here we are at the end of this informative section on the beauty of a proverb and what it gives to us and how it works in our life. And here at the end, we're focusing on the beginning. The end of this section is actually the beginning of our time in this book. Not only is it the beginning, but we could perhaps call fear of the Lord the linchpin of the entire book. I say linchpin because if you remove this thread, fear of the Lord, the whole book unravels. All that we discussed, and perhaps you want, perhaps as we think through this wisdom, knowledge, instruction, being able to navigate life well, we all probably say, okay, that sounds good. I want that. But all of that we discussed, hear me clearly, is impossible if we do not have fear of the Lord. You see, Proverbs is plain and it is salty and it is good for us. This book is for those who fear the Lord. You know that fear of the Lord in ancient times was a sign of recognition that the universe has a ruler. And the best response is to bow down before him. Well, we know who that is. It is God himself. You see, fear of the Lord is so crucial that throughout Proverbs, fear of the Lord, it leads to knowledge. It leads to wisdom. As Proverbs 9:10 says, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. It leads to hatred of evil. Fear of the Lord leads to killing pride in our lives, arrogance. It brings long life, avoidance of death, and on and on and on and on and on. But fear of the Lord is a heart issue, a heart that trusts God above themselves. That's what makes it so difficult. Fear of the Lord is an acknowledgement that He knows best, that He has authority, and that His words carry more weight. Fear of the Lord requires us to remove ourselves as the center of authority. It is a turning from rebellion to teachability. It is a softening of the heart and developing an attitude toward God that influences all of our decisions. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, is fear of the Lord. Wisdom must begin with trust and dependence upon the Lord. This is the controlling principle of the entire book. It is fear of the Lord, a respect and a reverence for Him and His words above ours. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." You see, this sets this book apart from every other self-help thinking. This sets this book apart from just mere observations on how the world works. No, it squares itself up to God as the source of wisdom, as the place we give the greater authority. All other sources of wisdom collapse and fall. They will be shown for how unfirm they actually are. God alone is a firm foundation to build wisdom upon. When it comes to life, who better to ask than the Creator of life? When it comes to how the world works, who better to ask than the Creator of all things? When it comes to the basic nature of humanity, who better to ask than the one who created male and female? This is why fear of the Lord is so crucial. Without it, one will not seek it from Him. One will not see Him as the greater authority on all things. And when one seeks wisdom outside of the Lord, they will find themselves with no substantial answers, though they have been given many answers. In the end, they will not be satisfied, and in the end, they will truly not be wise. Wisdom in Proverbs is an invitation into a loving relationship with the Lord. You hear that? All of this glorious things about things that we would like to be in life is an invitation into a loving relationship with the Lord. I tell you, you should do search. You should do a search in your Bibles of the phrase, fear the Lord, particularly in Proverbs. You will learn a lot. But here at the end, we learn where we must start. Fear of the Lord, humbly placing ourselves underneath His authority, having more respect and reverence for Him and His words. This is where wisdom gets difficult. Come to find out, as we have been unpacking, it is a heart issue. Wisdom is a heart issue. That is the most surprising thing about the book of Proverbs to me, is that the book is actually about our hearts. It puts on display our stubbornness, or more forcefully put, it puts on display our obstinate heart towards God. It reveals where we are willing to listen to the Lord and where we are unwilling to listen to the Lord. All of these glorious things awaiting us, knowledge, wisdom, instructions, a life lived for others, justice, fairness, wise dealings, continued development. That's just in the first seven verses. They all hinge on one thing, our hearts towards the Lord. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? That wisdom is a heart issue. As God's people, are we willing to listen to the Lord? Are we willing to give Him the greater source of authority in our life? Or we might sum up our time together in a proverb fashion. The heart of a man determines his ways. The heart of a man determines his ways. And you know something? Our hearts will only be changed when we put ourselves aside, we hear the Lord's wisdom, and we respond to it. He has given his greatest display of wisdom in his Son. Now you may be thinking, okay, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that. You're supposed to navigate this somehow back to Jesus. Well, you need to understand something. Colossians 2:3 actually says he, Jesus, is full of wisdom. It calls him wisdom. So if we are to be wise, according to Proverbs 1:7, we are to listen to his wisdom above our own. We are to respect and revere the person and work of Jesus because he is wisdom. God, in his ultimate wisdom, gives us his Son. Why? Because our hearts need to be changed. We need to move towards fear of the Lord if we're going to have wisdom, but our heart needs to be radically changed. In his wisdom, he gives us the ability to have our hearts changed. He gives us the ability to have fear of the Lord. He tells us it's by responding in faith and repentance towards his Son. Now that is why. Verse 7 tells us the fate of one who rejects wisdom, who does not have fear of the Lord, he or she becomes a fool. Oh, brothers and sisters, here at the end of this message, let's be mindful that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, turning our hearts towards him as the greater authority, turning our hearts towards his Son in faith and repentance. That is the wisest thing you could do this morning. That is the clear instruction of the Lord. That is the clearest understanding of how life works. That is how we become wise in all of our dealings, is in faith and repentance in the person and work of Jesus. That is wise. And oh, brothers and sisters, for you it is wise to consider, where is the greater authority in your life? Do you exhibit, by the way you live and think and interact, do you exhibit a true and healthy fear of the Lord, respect and reverence, granting him the proper place in our lives? We will never be wise if we do not. Maybe it's wise to end with a salty and truthful proverb to remind us that on this journey of wisdom, what is most crucial? Here's what Proverbs 28:14 says. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. Notice this continuation. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Oh, this morning, if you've stumbled upon our page, I beg of you, If you would love to talk further and what it means to respond to the Lord, to respond to Jesus, fill out that connection card. We'd love to chat with you. Those of you that call Light in the Desert Church home, those of you that are brothers and sisters, hear this proverb clearly as we begin our journey on wisdom. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. You are never above the Lord. Be warned, whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Would you pray with me? Father God, I am grateful for this time together this morning. Though it has been weird and different, and though I stumble over my words sometimes, I pray and ask that you've taken the truth of your scriptures and you've done what Proverbs tells us it will do. You've given instructions. I pray that those instructions haven't just been something to say, oh, cool, but yet they have penetrated our hearts in such a way that we're turning our hearts over to you more and more. Father, I beg and plead and ask that you would do such a work in our hearts in these moments that we would walk away with greater joy. Father, that we would come away with a little better sense of wisdom. We would come away and have wise dealings with others. We would come away and pursue righteousness because of what you have done in our hearts through the person and work of Jesus to change our hearts, to put us in a posture to place ourselves underneath you and your truth. Father, would you make us a wise people? But we need to be clear. We will only be wise in as much we put ourselves underneath the person and work of Jesus. So, Father, I ask that you would stretch and challenge us and you would use these moments together in the coming weeks to encourage us. Father, I pray if some among us listening would like to talk further, they would take those steps and we would have a chance to chat further. So, Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a pleasure being here with you this morning. And however you're supposed to end these things, perhaps I'll end it this way. Grace and peace.